Those fighting for social justice include inmates at Washington's prison, where significant racial disparities persist. As nationwide protests over police brutality unfolded last summer, KNKX's Simone Alisea spoke to incarcerated people who became activists while in prison. I talked with Simone about two inmates she met at the Monroe Correctional Complex who were part of the Black Prisoners Caucus. So what did the men you talked to have to say about some of the issues that are being debated right now?
Well, the first person I want to introduce you to is Vincent Sherrell.
Yes, my name is Vincent Jamal Sherrell, also known as Tank.
He is serving a life sentence for shooting and killing three people in the Tacoma area in 1994 as part of a gang conflict. He is now the co-chair of the caucus's Freedom, Justice, and Equality Committee.
So how did he go from being a gang member to an advocate for social justice?
Yeah, it was a journey for sure. You know, he told me about meeting an older inmate at Clallam Bay Correction Center on the Olympic Peninsula who had been involved with the BPC, the Black Prisoners Caucus.
Those older brothers was talking to us and like, look, you know what I'm saying, there's something better in life.
And he said this guy, who was also in for gang-related crimes, kind of took him under his wing.
And so it actually took somebody with that same lived experience that I had in that street culture to really, you know, get my attention. And that began our politicization, reminding us of the civil rights movement and that black liberation struggle and the oppression that we was faced with. And so it just made sense, right?
But what's really interesting to me about this is that it's similar to what I heard from the other person I talked to at Monroe, Eugene Youngblood.
And tell us more about him.
I'm a member of the Black Prisoners Caucus, and I'm also one of the lead facilitators for our legal liaison program.
Youngblood was convicted of murder in 1993 for his involvement in the shooting deaths of two teenage drug dealers near Bremerton. His sentence was originally 65 years, but Governor Jay Inslee actually just signed an order commuting his sentence in December, so he'll probably be getting out within the next few months or so. Like Sherrell, Youngblood was gang-affiliated.
It was a very slim chance that I was going to do anything else. And the reason why that is because so much of my community, not only was this accepted, but this was celebrated. And so this is something that, for me, it was more of like a rite of passage that all young men took.
But, you know, something that kept coming up in his clemency hearing last year was not only had Youngblood kind of reformed himself, right, but also that he'd really done a lot to mentor other prisoners and help other young people who might be in trouble. And when I talked to him, he saw his background as really central to that goal.
Because that's how I felt as a young person. I felt like I didn't have a choice, and I thought that this is what I had to do. But if somebody would have sat me down and I would have trusted that person, somebody would have sat me down and told me, hey, you do got choices, and hey, there is a couple of other things, and then I think more seriously I would have listened to them. And so a lot of the people who were originally the problem or at one point was the problem have to now be part of the solution and are.
It's interesting that he said be part of the solution. It's what we've been hearing from activists on policing and public safety, the idea that communities who've been most impacted by certain practices and policies should help reimagine these systems.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, I think that's what makes the work of the Black Prisoners Caucus so interesting. It's personal, but it also faces outward.
How so?
Well, one thing both Sherrell and Youngblood talked about a lot was education. And there were sort of two prongs to that discussion. The first was about educating themselves and other incarcerated people.
A lot of y'all out there in society probably believe that these type of programs exist inside prison, but they don't.
And back in the early 2000s, members of the Black Prisoners Caucus worked with outside volunteers to create what's called the University Beyond Bars, which is an independent organization that helps prisoners get four-year degrees and other advanced degrees. The second prong of the education discussion is more about what goes on in schools now and about what's known as the school-to-prison pipeline. Sherrell described some of the activities they were doing around this before the pandemic kind of shut things down.
We was inviting superintendents and teachers and principals up here. We were having big meetings to try to talk about, you know what I'm saying, some of the policies that's in place that hinders, you know what I'm saying, black and brown children from being seen in those classrooms. And we speak to that from our own experiences, right?
Both Sherrell and Youngblood kind of talk about how they see themselves as having been over-disciplined while in school.
So I got labeled as a disruptor. And then what would happen is they would call me a problem child, because I wasn't being compliant.
Our education reporter, Ashley Gross, has done some reporting around these issues. In Washington State, Black students are twice as likely to be disciplined as their white peers, and sometimes that can involve direct contact with law enforcement or even the courts.
Well, you mentioned, Simone, that Youngblood is getting out soon, but Sherelle is serving a life sentence. Did he talk to you about why he thinks this work is valuable, even though it's unlikely to affect him directly?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, right? If schools change their policies, it's probably not going to impact his quality of life, right? But he put it to me this way.
I believe I will see the benefits, you know, in many ways, and reap them personally myself. But also, I have my family, my community, and those I love, you know what I'm saying, benefit from a system that would actually, you know what I'm saying, help them versus harm them. And I would benefit just in that knowledge. But at the same time, this, you know, that's a part of the reconciliation part, you know, truthfully, you know, of giving back.
Wow, such an interesting perspective from him.
For his part, Youngblood, you know, I mentioned that he had been commended for his mentorship, and he described to me how he talks to younger guys about the work, especially when they have really long sentences.
They have to be patient, but more importantly, they have to be invested in trying to continue to become a good person, even if you might not always see the fruit. It might be for somebody else who comes after you. And that's the sad part of prison, is that a lot of things you do, you have to do that just aren't going to affect you. They just have to be, you have to make a stance for things and do something for things that's, you know, for the benefit of other people and the benefit of the whole.
Simone, I can't help but wonder how the pandemic fits into all of this, especially as things seem to be worsening in the prisons.
You know, overall, I am hearing just a lot about chaos and confusion, a lot of mistrust. As far as the activism goes, the really big problem is the lack of external visitors and the isolation that comes with that, right? People have not been inside the prisons since March of last year. Sherelle even described what he saw as a kind of regression in his fellow prisoners.
That ever since these programs have stopped, it's like, when we made progress, now I can see the regression. We're fighting one another. You can see the in drug use, too, as well, right?
So that is going to be a long-term concern for the Department of Corrections, I think.
All right, Simone, thanks so much for your reporting on this.
Thanks, Kirsten.
KNKX's Simone Alisea talking about activism in Washington's prisons during the COVID-19 pandemic. More than 4,800 prisoners have tested positive for the coronavirus. 7 incarcerated people have died, along with 2 corrections officers.